Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Happy Friday, everyone.
Guys, you made it through another week.
Made it through another week in fucking hell.
Another week, another day. Every week is the same at this point. I'm like, time is just happening, and I'm a kind of a part of it, but also not. Also, I had a moment where I was like, time is moving faster than ever, and it's not just like me getting older and feeling like time moves fast. That definitely is a part of it, but I was also like, time is moving faster. Like, I know that to be true. And then it turned out that time actually is moving faster because, like, we lost, like, a millisecond or, like, some sort of second. I was like, I'm right. When I'm right, I'm right. And I just knew it. I could sense it.
No, that's funny. I was literally just going to be like, well, you're onto something because I think they're saying it's like a reverse leap year or something at some point, which is really wild.
Like, it's all going to build up, and then we're just going to start losing days, weeks, months, years until we come down to truly zero. And this, like, new telescope is really freaking me out, but in a great way. But I truly think we're going to see back into the beginning of time from this telescope. I feel like that's where we're headed, is to, like,
yeah.
See, like, it's like picturing, like, the very last star in the universe. Like, it captured, or like in the galaxy, or the edge of what we know to be scientifically as the universe. And I was like, when you go back that far, you're going back to the beginning, the void. I was like, this is fucking crazy. Also, I'm like, I guess humans just need to see that for themselves. But I'm also like, I know that. So can we just move on to like something else?
Are you in a place of, I don't want to see that?
No, I want to see it. I love the space stuff. Don't get me wrong. But I also think it's like garish and disgusting that people are like traveling to space or like populating. You can like buy a ticket to like fly to space when the Earth is like dying. Like that, yeah. those kinds of resources should be like put back into the Earth, and like the falling space garbage really also is freaking me out. The future is literally rich people going to space and poor people staying on Earth getting killed by just like falling space garbage from like rich people's space flights.
Yeah. I mean, if we should be like using that money to spend on like solving like hunger and the water shortage. And like making green farming,
making new teeth for homeless people.
I mean, just it's, or like using that to actually spend money on like colonizing other planets that will, you know what I mean? Like actually not just like ego flights to space.
I don't even think we should colonize other planets. I think that we should fix Earth.
I think we should do both.
I think we should stop deforestation and like work on like alternative energy sources and like really focus down on like fixing Earth before like just moving on to suck the resources out of another planet. But also like take the fucking do photo shoots. I would love to do a photo shoot at the very edge of the galaxy.
I want to get my headshots done in that balloon that's going to like the stratosphere.
The bar balloon. Mm-hmm. The balloon that costs like six figures just to go like have a drink.
Like that's sick to me that people like it's just it's all it's troubling.
That's the future liberals want.
It might be. I just wanted to really talk about, speaking of very rich, the House of Hammer trailer came out.
Yes.
The Discovery Plus docuseries exploring the Hammer family and Army's fall from grace. And the trailer's amazing. Anytime I hear those voice messages of Army in the DMs being like, I really want to suck your femur, it just kills me because his voice is just like big and dumb and deep. And it just makes everything he says sound funnier, even though it's horrifying.
I continue to be not horrified, really, by this whole story. Like, I am waiting to actually be, like, very horrified and coming up very dry. Like, I'm interested to see what his, that family member has to say, because I do think there is a really interesting perspective of, like, generationally, these men in our family are really fucked up and, like, sick in the head. And that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, I'm kind of like...
Take or leave it.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you telling me that I don't already know? Like, I already have read all these text messages that you showed in the preview. Like, I've heard all the descriptions. Like, it's like you're just recounting. You're literally just, like, making a master Google document of, like, every link to everything that's already come out. So, just feels a little bit sus. And I'm in a place of, so you say, some of the girls that they're interviewing, I'm like, okay, well, it's not like you were kidnapped and forced to do any of this. Like, this is like consensual sex.
I'm just curious to watch. I think I've become like a Discovery Plus devotee.
You're a Discovery Plus ambassador.
I'm a Discovery Plus gay. I'm watching, what is it? Oh, British 90 Day Fiancé. Might even be better than American.
The Brits do a really good job of compelling.
There's a new Jacob Elordi British GQ profile, and it's just one of those like insane celebrity puff pieces, and him just looking like kind of gay in like photos, and the pull quotes are just amazing. He's a real actor, according to him.
He's like an actor who got really famous and whose career is like just starting, and I think Brad Pitt like paved the way for these, like, for men to get femme in photo shoots. But I'm almost like, this is starting to get a little bit boring.
It is boring. One of his pull quotes was like, the minute I did a play in school, I was called gay. It's like, okay, cool.
Yeah, join the club.
Join the fucking like, club,
literally,
man.
Literally everyone was called gay. Show me someone literally who grew up in our generation that wasn't called gay at some point in their lives at school.
For doing far less than joining a play.
But I get it. It's like he needs publicity to like keep the train going. And it's like, it's interesting because there's not much, he's so young that there's not much to say about him that truly is compelling because he hasn't lived enough of a life to like have truly compelling experiences. So it's like, okay, you did like a teen movie, you got a bunch of Instagram followers, you've dated some famous women, and like you're working in other movies. So like the most compelling thing we can say about you is that people called you gay when you decided to be in the drama club, and
you're really hot.
You're really, really hot. And like that's all we really know. I love that. Bean is like, well,
his publicity.
I know.
His PR team's like, well, just.
They're working hard. I love, like, I didn't graduate high school. Like, I was just like, that's the real tea. I was like, didn't graduate high school. I was like, but I love to read. I was like, okay, so you say.
I just love these, like, I mean, it's been happening, but it's such a, I think, modern celebrity thing, like, of just, like, the celebrity propaganda profile, where it's, like, these people, these young people have just been chosen, and we're just having to, like, endure. Like, I'm like, okay, I have to, like, pretend that I think this guy is talented. Okay.
The talent remains to be seen.
Mm.
I believe that he really wants to be talented, and I'm like, you're hot enough to where it kind of doesn't really matter. Like,
100%.
You could do a version of what you do in Euphoria for the rest of your career
and be really successful.
And have it considered widely to be talent.
Yeah. And that is talent in a way. But it's also like, I'm, you know, these quotes, him being like, every time I approach my character, I imagine that everyone is capable of killing and how weird that is. And I'm like, okay. I think about that when I'm at CBS and people are yelling at, like, the pharmacist. And I'm like, it could go either way with one of these people. You know what I mean? Like, it's not cool. Welcome to life.
It was definitely like a glimpse into just like a 25-year-old's mind that, like, just hasn't had a lot of lived experience quite yet, or like whatever it is he wants to share. And that kind of ended on that note, which I thought was interesting, where it's like, I'm only 25. And I was like, damn, he's like really young. And like, what else would we expect him to say? Like, he's not going to have anything like groundbreaking to like reveal.
No, I'm not. And I wasn't, I'm not expecting a 25-year-old to have, I'm just, but the framing, of course, cause it's a, like, they just frame it like he's once in a generation. It's like, okay.
I know. It felt like he was trying to snatch wigs. Like Austin Butler's like Elvis wig. I felt like he was like coming for that wig.
The wigs are being snatched by the straights.
Yeah, I just miss the days of like a juicy celebrity profile. There hasn't been one in ages. No one really gives like, no one's giving it like they used to.
Even that gay actor who was in The Real O'Neills and like Evan Hansen, and he gave that like interview where he just blasted everyone, like his peers and like other gay actor. Like, he just fucking like,
he went in.
And he's like, he was like 24 when he did the interview. And I was kind of like, wow, I love this.
Ooh, I love that.
I am a little tired of like you said, like these male straight seeming celebrities wearing lipstick. And we're like, this, they're coming for our wigs.
I feel like the most transgressive thing you could really do right now as like a male movie star is be like hyper masculine again, like unapologetically, like deeply mask and own it, baby. Anyways,
speaking of snatching wigs,
we have a guest today to talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I'm so excited that she's coming on the pod, blessing us with her presence.
We are having kind of a moment today because we're bringing on an incredible guest to discuss Robich with us. This is a performer, a comedian, an actress with a capital A. I admire her. She's amazing. She's so cool and fucking funny as shit. And she's glam as hell. Please welcome to the stage the iconic, the legendary Natalie Walker.
Without further ado,
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy, Unique Podcast. Beverly Hells Angels.
Thank you. I got too excited for the theme song. La 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 la.
Go into your opera journey.
Yeah,
please.
a true fan, a true head. This is my dream. I listen to you all the time. I have turned on all of my friends to you. Oh. There are other Housewives podcasts in the ether, Bravo podcasts in the ether, and they're never, they're so toothless to me. And so whenever any of my friends start complaining about the output, I always say, you got to listen to Sup. And Chris Murphy has become obsessed recently. Christris is obsessed and was literally like, they say everything I want to be said. And I said, yeah, that's the thing.
I love this grassroots marketing.
The impressions are so good. It's just, I'm so obsessed with you both. This could not have been a bigger dream come true. And then to actually get to talk about an episode where things happen.
I know, things are actually
going on.
I just have to tell you, praise you as well. Like, I'm such a fan of yours. Your videos are incredible. Lara and I both did a reading of a famous Roni episode with you during the lockdown, featuring Alex Better, Z-Way, and a few others. So I feel really grateful that you found the time and you're busy.
Those are my favorite things to do. That's where I feel the most in tune as a performer. Like, those readings are so insane. And that one I feel like was very early core.
Yeah. And it was dark.
Incredibly fortifying.
It was.
And I really...
it was a reset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you do... Don't you... Have you done monologues at 54 Below of housewives stuff?
Yeah, I do... I do a solo show called Mad Scenes that's about women and psychosis and, and just craziness and combining high low. And so I'll do it, I'll do an operatic Mad Scene and juxtapose it with a Housewives Mad Scene. And so I'll do a Mad Scene from Lucia de Lammermoor as Tinsley Mortimer, Morning Bambi, or Ophelia as Kelly Ben Simone with the jelly beans, all of that stuff. Because I think when Housewives is best, it's women going insane. And that's why we tune in and that's why we watch. And this episode had a little bit of it. But
it took
layers.
It there.
It really took it there. Yeah. But it was sort of watching Rinna do her Mad Scene. I was like, you are me doing it because you're aware of it. Like, the height of Housewives Mad Scenes are ones where they're completely unself-aware. And Rinna is enough of an actor that she's like, if I give myself this panic attack, this is getting too far into it already. But I'm so excited to talk about this episode.
No, it's fine. We have no real formal way of going with guests. So we're carving new pathways, outlining new ways of doing things. So we can start off with talking about Rinna and her lustrous gown, which was a portal into another universe that space telescope they just released, I believe, took a picture of the end of the universe and it actually was Rinna's dress.
Yeah.
The Housewives are kind of like Cassandra. Like, they're all just sort of seeing the end of, you know what I mean? And
yes.
Classic hysterical trope. So I love that you tap into that. And I think this episode is a prime example of that. And just seeing a soap opera star do it is just it's chilling.
Yeah.
And... But we'll start off with, let's take it to the beginning.
So Dorit and PK, are they the next Lucy and Desi?
I think so.
Thoughts?
Yeah.
I'm into their whole
facade.
Idiot husband, hot wife really does it for me. As basic as that is, I love to see it.
Yeah.
And I yearn to even have that in my own life. So... living vicariously through Dorit, and her oaf of a husband who I honestly would fuck at this point.
Yes.
You would fuck, you guys both.
PK is sexy.
You would fuck PK?
There's something sexy when he says something I gotta be a catch to have gotten Dorit with those teeth. When a schlubby guy is obsessed with their hot wife.
Yeah.
He's sort of nasty. Ooh. Uh-huh. Yeah, like to be.
I just got chills.
To be prized by like a nasty man. Like Frollo and Hunchback of Notre Dame was very formative for me. Jafar calling Jasmine a pussycat was very formative for me. Like just a gross guy that's like, ooh, this sexy young thing. She's so lithe and winsome. Ooh. Yeah, I also love that they have their own shared vernacular. I love that getting your teeth done. Like, that's veneers. They're not going to ever say veneers, but they're just like, I'm getting my teeth done.
Yeah. And is this weird to say that, like, I actually was, like, the nasty teeth? And I love teeth, and I'm like, teeth are very important. But seeing those nasty teeth, I was kind of like, it's hot.
Yeah.
It's like Ben Affleck's old teeth, you know? Like, that's kind of, they're sexy. Because they're, kind of shitty and, like, Boston teeth. And you're like, fuck me with those teeth.
Yeah, they're also Guy Ritchie character teeth.
Yes.
Like, he's doing a heist. Yeah.
He is going, those teeth are like, have seen a heist.
Yes.
And I continue to be like, how the fuck is this guy making so much money? Like, where did this money come from?
He's well connected.
He clearly is they're like besties with John Legend and Chrissy Teigen, I think.
Yeah. Which,
besties with everyone. So it seems.
He seems fun. Like, I can actually see celebs like really enjoying being around PK.
And Dorit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also want to be looped out at the same time. Like, I feel sort of forced into witnessing this, like, facade that they're putting on.
Yeah.
And a part of me is like, okay, it's fun to watch, but I also want out.
Right. I mean, I enjoyed this teeth extravaganza much more than I enjoyed the scripted DUI conversation, which also I enjoyed in this episode, Dorit calling PK's DUI a police encounter.
Yeah.
Like, she refuses to call it a DUI. She's literally like, when he had his police encounter. I'm like, all right. Yeah. Cool
classic
euphemism.
Classic, like, Caucasian.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty wild. And I love, I just love the, like, cohesion of the narrative in this with everything being surrounding teeth. I think it was, like, a really well-edited episode in that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shout out to the story editors. They're doing the damn thing. They're putting in the work. They got off their asses and made a great episode.
They did.
Shout out to charity, honestly.
Shout out to various foundations.
Yes.
Shout out to Sharon Stone.
How do we get Sharon on the show?
I know. I thought that's where it was going after Jamie Lee.
Yeah.
I was like, Sharon's going to be at this dinner.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fully ready for celebs to just be making constant cameos on the show.
Now that it's sort of like punctured the plasma of like A-list kind of, like, I feel like it's now like okay for very famous celebrities to be seen on these shows, which I appreciate.
Yeah. I want every pixie cut Silver Fox to be on the show. Like, and Sharon Stone, like, you're doing Lens Crafters commercials. Like, you can come and be Dorit's friend. You can come and be. Also, Dorit, like, having Dorit name drop Sharon Stone threw so much into very sharp focus for me about, oh, Dorit is cosplaying Ginger McKenna in Casino. So much, I feel.
She is.
Yes.
And then the pearl wedding dress was pure Basic Instinct, but as a wedding dress that she wore to the reunion, the like high, it was the turtleneck, the white turtleneck, but it had the pearls all over it. I was like, oh, this is prom. This is Giovanni does Basic Instinct is Dorit's pearl wedding dress that she wore to the reunion. Yeah.
Wow. That's such a good call.
Sharon is Dorit's muse.
Yeah.
Like, remember when she was in she was muse with Albert Brooks in that movie?
Absolutely.
Like, she
truly formative is, movie.
Yeah. Like, she truly is the muse.
Asking for Waldorf salad.
We don't talk about that movie enough.
No. Where are my muse heads at?
Martin Scorsese gives one of the greatest supporting actor performances in all of film history. If we can give Judi Dench an Oscar for 5 minutes in Shakespeare in Love, we can give Martin Scorsese an Oscar for what he did in The Muse.
Yeah. And it was like such an, it was such like an insider baseball, like, industry movie before that was kind of a thing.
Yes.
I loved it. So Dorit's charity is called, that she's supporting, and she's going to be throwing a benefit dinner for it. It's called literally Homeless But Not Toothless.
Homeless Not Toothless.
Homeless Not Toothless.
Yeah.
Rolls off the tongue. It's evocative.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
I like that it's like, you're still going to be homeless at the end of this, but you'll have teeth.
It's not antiquated in its verbiage at all. It's with the times. It's very much of now.
I love that it's just proudly rejecting like Twitter, the sort of like unhoused is like sort of now the accepted term. It's just completely like chimney sweep.
Yes. You know? Yes.
Homeless. We can't deal with that. Too big of an issue. But we can make sure that your teeth look fucking fierce.
Yeah.
I love giving away one smile.
That was insane.
That's not enough. That's not enough smiles to give away for all the people. Yeah.
One.
A single smile. You get once, like you get one, you only can smile once. And then
out of all of those people at that party, that party had all of those people there. And the outcome of that specific party was that she was like, we can now give away one smile.
One.
And those go for a pretty penny.
And everyone went, oh my God.
It is like 40K. Yeah,
of course. But also like
Diana Jenkins, I mean, where are you at with matching? Why don't you match a smile?
Yeah.
You were matching things at the Jamie Lee Curtis event. Yeah. Like also the 40K is like what the dentist would charge a normie. But like I'm sure there's like a discount or like a 20K smile. So maybe you can make it two or three.
Also just do the front bits. Just do the front bits and then get the cavities out of the back. You don't need chiclets on all of them. You don't need chiclets on every single one. Also, Sutton, I know Sutton backed away from matching Diana because she didn't want to. Like, there was that moment where Sutton went into her purse at the My Hand and Yours event. And I was like, Sutton, now is your time. Now you could, like, do it now. And then.
Well, Sutton is I feel like she's reticent to display how. Like, she's definitely the richest one.
Right.
I think she. I mean, we don't know. It's untold how many.
Rich is untold.
Yeah, like perhaps a billion.
Yeah.
But she's very like cautious to display that, I feel like, because she's so suspicious of these women that she's like, I can't let them know the full truth. Only hints of it, only whispers.
Yes.
Yeah. I think she also like is very choosy about what she will be associated with. So it's like homeless, not toothless. I don't know if Sutton wants that on her like charity resume.
With good reason.
Yeah.
She doesn't want that on the tax return.
What really freaked me out was when the dentist is like, my wife and I will go. They basically said he and his wife are going to go look for a homeless person with no teeth and then choose them.
No.
Like, and I was just imagining them like driving around looking for like an unhoused person in LA. And it really freaked me out.
Yeah, that's like the old men in Trading Places that really is like they're looking for the perfect.
Well, it's also like Rosemary's Baby when like Minnie and Roman find that woman Terry at like the women's shelter and like
absolutely
like that was I was getting that energy.
Yes.
Yeah, why not give them
money? Give them 40 grand.
I mean, I get like teeth are nice for sure.
Yeah.
But I feel like
so is money.
I don't. Why does it? It's so binary. Homeless, not toothless. Like you can only have one.
Yeah.
And it's actually going to be teeth.
What a terrible choice to force this. Someone who's like in a circumstance that is just like very dire. You can either get teeth or a house.
They've been applying to so many different charities. And then they're like, you got one. And it's like the one where they get veneers. And it's like, oh.
Cool.
I'm awesome.
Well, you also have to replace veneers every 10 years or something. It's not like it's just a one and done thing. It's a constant. There's upkeep. So like soon enough, you might be toothless again.
Yeah.
If you don't figure out the homeless element of
and if your veneers fall out, they've like sanded down like your original teeth
little vampire.
Look even worse are so nasty.
Yeah, I was so into everyone just kind of rolling with it.
Yeah.
That it's sort of like, you know what? They're committing to this and it's making it less awkward.
I want more unhinged charity content, like the more obscure and kind of like glancing a charity is, I need it covered. Like,
Yeah.
There's, you know, there's something for everyone. The best too is when it flashes to Dorit telling Garcelle about her charity and she's like, it's homeless, not toothless. And Garcelle just goes, oh, wow.
I liked today Andy Cohen tweeted like, who has questions? Our team is putting together the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion. And Garcelle quote tweeted it and said, I have questions.
many to be had.
Sutton and her gay are at Sutton's store.
I want to go to that store.
Yeah, why don't we?
I don't know. We got to go.
We live close to it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie, will you fly to LA and go with it? Go there?
Yeah. I want to see the Alexi Mabeel clubs. I want to see something with a bow on the back. No, with a bow on the front and a blazer on the back. That's what I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all her clothes are like that Celine Dion outfit where she wore her suit backwards. It's very Sutton.
Exactly. That is her ideal aesthetic with her little chicken legs.
And once again, I have to say that no one has been hit harder by the COVID pandemic than the women of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It's a constant presence on the show.
In a way that it truly is not on other shows. They're able to like cut around on other franchises or like one person gets it. But Beverly Hills ladies, it's a revolving
it's
door.
It's a fallen soldier.
It's a grand hotel.
Every week.
Cherie has it this week. Crystal's just coming back from her bout. She comes to the store and is still shaken by COVID. And apparently one of Sutton's employees now has COVID or sore throat. She's like, Crystal, could you come work here?
Crystal, I have to say, like I've said it before on the pod, I love any sort of eating disorder content. Like I'm in. Like don't love that as like a problem people have to deal with. But if you're going to be on a show and deal with it, like I will watch it. But she talks a lot about her eating disorder without really ever saying anything.
Yeah.
Like it's getting to a point where she's like talking about it. And at one point she's like looking at Sutton and she goes, you know, it's like, it's what I deal with. It's a disorder. It's like, we've gone past, like we know that.
Yes.
So like, let's get a little deeper, Crystal.
Right. I was curious about that. She talks in this episode, and then she talked on Watch What Happens Live, which I did watch live right after. She said what she said sort of got misconstrued. It sounded like she had never pursued any sort of help. And what she meant was that she's never pursued inpatient, like a 30-day, but she has been in therapy and stuff. And I don't know if that's something that she has felt uncomfortable to divulge on the show, or if she has talked about it and then it got cut, because apparently it got cut that like when Kyle was specifically pressing her on what type of disorder she has at the beginning of like the Christmas party or whatever, apparently she was like, this talk is really triggering to me for you to specifically ask me what I do. Like, but apparently that all got put on the cutting room floor. But it is curious to me that it sort of, it's this double-edged sword for her where she can talk about it and say it was like a factor in X, Y, or Z bit of drama, but then will not really clarify what she is doing to better it or try and move past it. And is she still in therapy? Like that was something that even on Watch What Happens Live wasn't really clear. Like, are you still seeing someone about this specifically, or is your therapy now just sort of you talking about whatever you want to talk about? So it's very curious, but it also, I'm glad that we're getting more into it, because it was something that when she said it last season, when she first said, like, I have a history of bulimia, like that disorder specifically plays so heavily into how she reacted to Sutton walking in that night, because it was specifically after a dinner, after like a huge dinner with all the ladies and like stress eating, and it's her first season. And I'm like, if you have a history of bulimia, like a huge trigger is like a huge meal with a lot of people watching you eat. And so she probably like retreated to her bedroom, and that's like the moment where you're really going through it of being like, am I going to do it? No, I don't want to do it. But like, you have to take that time and breathe with yourself. And especially if she's really never pursued inpatient, if she's never done any of that, I'm like, oh, it makes so much sense now why she freaked out so intensely when Sutton was going to see her naked body, because it was like this amalgamation of, I'm scared of someone seeing me naked and thinking I'm fat. I'm scared of someone seeing me if I'm like maybe going to the bathroom or something. Like, it's a whole mired thing. And I am always like supportive of us seeing it on the show, because so many of these women have very obvious eating disorders that they refuse to talk about. But I think the fact that Crystal's is bulimia, which is like the quote unquote less cool one, because anorexia is the one where it's like, oh, I'm so in control that I don't even like need to have it. It's like such a more shameful disorder, bulimia, I feel. And this is as someone that struggled with it, which is why I'm not, no shame to my formerly bulimic girlies. Like,
I've been there too. Don't worry.
Yeah. So I think it's like, I think it's really brave because it's like much more shameful and harder to hide, and hiding it is more necessary than the girls that can just walk around and be like, oh, I just had a big lunch, so I'm not going to eat anything right now. But it's, they're not eating anything throughout the day. Or it's Lisa Rinna like making big clown faces at any food that passes by her while never, ever touching it.
Pushing it around on her plate with a fork.
Yeah.
And having three vodka sodas.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great point, and it's because it is, you're right, it is kind of like a violent act, like, you know, and it is like, it's so, it's basically the same thing, just a different form, but like, mm-hmm. They're all violent, I think, but
yes.
That is just the most, like, it's showing what is really going on, and I think like something like anorexia or restrictive eating is more like glam, in a way, like,
yeah.
In quotes. And it's yeah. Very, like, Hollywood or New York. And
if you're in therapy about it, there is, like, even at the beginning of it, there's, like, a hierarchy of, like, the anorexic girls are, like, I actually, like, you're sort of a pig because you, even if you're, like, the same size, ostensibly, it's, like, the anorexic girls are, like, you have, like, you're sort of a pig that you can't control yourself. And I had like the control, and it's sort of like looked down upon until you start to rewire your brains as you go through treatment.
No, there's always, there's a caste system.
We're all
yes.
Self-harming.
Yeah.
Like,
we're all
horribly.
Sick.
Yes.
Yeah.
The girlies are all sick.
Absolutely.
We just have different ways of showing it.
Yes.
No, and that's actually, I guess I didn't really think about that, but it does make sense why, because Sutton, I remember, said something like, I saw you were doing something weird.
Right.
And like, she's, you know, Sutton is kind of, like, she's shrewd in a lot of ways, but she's also very, she's kind of a simpleton in other ways. And I
yes.
feel like she would see that and be like, oh, that was uncouth.
Right. And I also feel that Sutton is a person that I don't think has ever had an issue with food. I think her like weird body is what it is, you know? I think she's sort of like, she just has these little bird legs and like sort of a tummy. I think like that's just the way that her body always has been and always will be. Whereas there are some of these other women that I'm like, you are constantly aware throughout all day, every day about it. And also that she like was never an actor or anything, didn't see herself as being someone that was going to be
mm-hmm.
on screen.
She's just haunted by tragic death, I think.
Always.
So she's got other, she's got other issues on her little plate.
Yes.
She's haunted in general. I think by everything that happens has like a haunting effect on Sutton. So even things that she can't explain, like Crystal in the bathroom in Tahoe. But Crystal's in an interesting position because it's like, she's in her second season on a reality television show. She's obviously like not of this world, really. But I enjoy seeing her on the show, and I enjoy like what she's bringing. But I think that it'll be interesting to see her develop and like learn how to share more and like be more explicit about what she's going through and what her feelings are, because she's not been great about that. And it comes out, I think she knows what she wants to say, but then does something else entirely that gets interpreted as like throwing Sutton under the bus or like blah, blah, blah. But I think as she rises in the ranks and becomes like Queen Bee, she'll really like step into her power. I think that's where she shines. And to not be there at this point creates like panic and like an inability to like truly articulate what her true emotions and vibes are.
That's a good point. I feel like she's sort of like we're recapping Jersey Shore, and on the first episode, Snooki is like alienated. And she's like, I don't get it. I'm usually like the most popular girl. And I think Crystal's having sort of that moment where she's used to being like the alpha. And I think she's in this, it's like disorienting for her because she's always been, you know, she was like the cool girl growing up.
Of course.
And I think she's in this higher, this kind of caste system now where she's at the bottom and she has to sort of pay her dues as like a newbie. But she's also used to just being like wielding her power and like manipulating and doing all the things that we love to see like a cool girl do. And I think she's going to hit her stride. And I think this is all just like her growing pains. And she's also in a really interesting position because she's the youngest person. She's a millennial and she's, you know, she uses words like triggering and things that these women have never really said or like don't really believe in, which is really funny. And I think she's really more, I think, even than like Leah is really shaking them up because she's like, she brings in language that they just will never understand or like a generation that they will never understand. And it's like the future. And I think it freaks everyone out, especially the old guard.
Absolutely. And she, because I do think in a group where she is like, where everyone is her age, I feel like she is absolutely alpha, and she's being forced into this position where she has to be a little bit deferential to a Diana, who I do think like she has known in life. Like, it really seems like that's not a horse that she would, that's not a hill she would die on if Diana weren't a really good friend of hers, or a Kathy, where she's like trying to save Kathy in the Watch What Happens Live clip.
Yeah, should we talk about that really fast? Like, if everyone, do you guys want to explain what happened? Because that was shunking.
It really had me shunked. I was watching it. I was watching it live and watching it happen literally live. It felt like it went on for 30 minutes. I was like, how is there more show left after this has happened? Basically, they played a game. The guests were Kathy Hilton and Crystal, and they played a game called Will Kathy Know Them, which is just supposed to be an innocuous, carefree game where Kooky Kathy. They show Kooky Kathy a photo of a celebrity, and she says if she knows who they are, and if so, like who they are. And they showed Kathy a photograph of Lizzo, and Kathy blurted out Precious pretty instantly, pretty much because she had just said she didn't know like three other celebrities, and it seemed like she was like, oh, I know one, Precious. And the time stopped. Andy put his cards over his face.
And Crystal covered for her.
Crystal said, well, Lizzo is Precious. And it was like, Crystal, no.
And Kathy was like,
you're making it worse.
She was like, well, that's my nickname for her. She is Precious. So I call her that.
That's what I call her.
She's adorable. I was like,
it was, ooh, tough. It was tough.
Did it last longer than the clip that was on social media?
No.
Like, did it go but it just, on? No, it was a,
no. Watching that clip made me go, oh, it actually wasn't that long a time, but it was just when you were watching it live and had no idea what was coming. It was shocking that they lasted that long with it after, that they didn't just go, next slide. It's also, frankly, shocking to me that they would have, they've been pre-taping so many Watch What Happens Lives that I'm perplexed as to why they thought Kathy would be a good actual live person.
Right. Well, maybe they know. I don't know.
Maybe they're setting her up. Maybe this is part of Andy is good friends with Lisa Rinna, and Rinna's Watch What Happens Live appearance was sort of catastrophic, even though it was supposed to be sort of an apology image rehab tour after last week. And so what did she do? She was just sort of doubling down on things, and Andy was sort of holding her feet to the fire about being a disaster on social media, a la Candace Dillard Bassett.
Wait, what did she do to Candace?
Oh, Candace, well, that Andy at the RHOP reunion, the last one or the year before, was like, Candace, you're a disaster on social media. So it was sort of Andy calling Rinna out for the same type of behavior, and Rinna sort of continued the ideology that she starts spouting at the end of last night's episode, where she's like, I'm grieving and I'm in pain and I've been a real mess and I'm trying, but I'm also grieving. It's like, well, if you came to that conclusion at the end of this episode and then you're continuing this behavior, okay. But she, they asked her if she has any more insight on or regrets about the way she treated Lisa Vanderpump after LVP's brother's death. And she was like, well, I didn't know Lisa even had a brother.
Wow.
But I really respect anyone grieving. And it was like,
she's
savage.
She also, Maren Morris was the guest with her. And Andy was like, Maren, like, you guest hosted Jimmy Kimmel's show and Sutton was the guest. How was that? And Maren goes to talk and Lisa grabs her arm and is like, should we tell him? And Maren's like, what? And Rinna goes, well, originally I was supposed to be the guest and then I couldn't do it. But how nice that Sutton got to do it. So now we said it. And it was so...
Is she like on Adderall?
It was so nasty. It was really nasty to see.
I love Maren Maren just being like, who? What? I don't know. Like,
no,
I
didn't say what. There's a photo of them backstage, either before or after, and Rinna is gripping Maren Morris, and Maren Morris looks like she's in a hostage film. It's really, she's blinking help in Morse code throughout this picture being taken. It's rough.
Lisa has grip mentality for sure. I feel like I see like that. I'm thinking of that reunion where she gripped Garcelle and then basically like climbed into her lap and went full body, like hug clutch around Garcelle to like stop her from saying anything else. She's a desperate woman in a desperate position. Mm-hmm. In a cat suit.
She needs this check.
I can feel Rinna like being at church with like my friend's family, and I can feel Rinna like pinching us to get us to shut up. Like us like giggling during church and her being like, stop it, with like mints in her mouth.
Yes. Yes.
No? Anyone?
And her hands are always cold. Her hands are always cold.
Freezing. Her extremities barely get any sort of circulation.
Someone's voice cracks and you start laughing and she's like, shh.
The Kathy of it all, though, is like, it was, and you could see in her face, like at the end, she was like, oh, fuck. I feel like she's usually just kind of like, what? But I think even that, she was like, damn it. Because I know she knows a storm is coming with Aspen. Hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully we'll see it.
I need to know what made her be like, help on Instagram.
I know. I remember when that happened and I was like, is anyone else seeing this?
I need more, like, I'm ready for the Kathy tsunami takedown.
Yes.
That's the housewives way. That's like the hero's journey, in a sense, on like reality TV, is you build them up only to just strike them back down. Bury them and leave just a pile of rubble.
She burned too bright.
Yes. It's always so annoying, too, when people are like, is this your fave or whatever? And it's like, if you have like real faves on Housewives where you're like, I'm a stan for this person, your brain is broken and that's not what it's about. The whole game of Housewives that is so thrilling is that anyone is the hero and anyone is the villain any week, and I don't have any loyalty to any of these bitches. I have no loyalty. If they're being funny and fun, my queen. But if next week they do something insane and bad, I wish her dead. Like, as long as the compelling...
Death to them all, Wendy
Death
Williams.
Death to them all. all. As long as they are compelling to watch, that is all that I care about. That is all that I care.
You're giving me Kristen Johnson and Sex in the City. What happened to having fun?
Fun! Yeah. I'm going to throw myself out the damn window.
Yeah.
I'm going to hurl down two stories.
Exactly.
Break one arm.
That is me, like, at Bravo. Like, this used to be the most exciting city in the world.
Yes.
Now look at us. Smoking by an open window. That's me with Bravo.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
I feel like Beverly Hills is serving for me. I don't know, though. I mean, it's so subjective. Like, it's giving this season, and I'm on board. I'm, like, at the edge of my seat. I'm compelled. I'm enjoying, like, to have genuine enthusiasm and joy. So, like, it's doing it.
Yes. I had moments of worrying that it was going to be, like, Lucy Lucy, but now I'm, like, this is a new season.
Yeah.
I bet I loved Lucy Lucy. That's my dark truth, is that I still think about whenever someone brings it up again. I'm like, yes, I'm ready to relitigate Lucy Lucy Apple Juicy at any given moment.
I will go look up Lucy Lucy's new owner on Instagram occasionally, just see what Lucy Lucy is up to.
It's good to check in. Someone also said, people like came for Teddy online yesterday because she like said, talked shit about Sutton or something. I couldn't,
didn't have the energy
to like follow or look into it. But then someone I saw, they were like, this just shows that she definitely like was the person that spilled the beans on Lucy Lucy Apple Juicy. And I was like, let's fucking talk about it again. I was like, ready to go
back. Let's go back.
I'm ready to have a conference, yeah. Like an anarchist style conference just about Lucy Lucy Apple Juicy.
Yeah.
A panel, if you will.
It's the only good thing Teddy ever did on that show. And Teddy to come for Sutton, I'm like, Sutton is doing what you could never. Sutton is the center of the drama almost every episode, and Sutton is giving Tennessee Williams every episode. For her to do the gentleman caller scene from Glass Menagerie with that man last episode, where she's in her little she's in the little cat sweater, I was going, oh, she's about to show him the unicorn. He's gonna break the unicorn. I'm so scared.
So then we head over to another person that has grown on me. Diana is, I've come around on her being just
so
an iconic.
You Say is the funniest thing.
So You Say.
So You Say is the vibe now of like, I approach everything.
You do.
With an air of So You Say.
So You Say.
I'll tell Laura something that's happening and she'll go, So You Say.
So You Say.
Ms. Doubt.
Yeah.
It's a really good place to be in. Just a little bit of questioning. Don't believe everything you hear. Just so you say.
So we come up on Gay Asher playing the piano, and he's just singing his little Josh Groban light heart out. And Diana goes, "Asher is like a little child. My favorite part of the day is when I just peek around the corner and he doesn't know I'm watching and I watch him play the piano. And he's like a delicate child, and that's why I love him." I'm like, okay, this is a little weird.
Yeah, her calling him a child repeatedly was sort of tough. She's also like creeping down the stairs in her Sue Sylvester tracksuit. And I was like, that's what you missed on Glee. Asher really does have Matthew Morrison energy to me.
Now
watching that, yeah, I was like, I don't think Asher is like super gay, except for the post that he did about Diana's son was very gay. I recommend you both go to his Instagram and check out the essay that he wrote for Diana's son with a carousel of photos of them being best bros.
I think he's like bi maybe, but yeah. I think he's just like a straight theater guy.
Exactly. He just has straight musical theater guy energy, which is like, you're so corny and cringe, but because you are consistently the only non-ogre straight guy at theater parties, you are a prize. And you still believe that you are the prize forever. Always will.
He was like a child star on Broadway.
Yeah, playing little Gavroche in Les Mis or whatever.
That contextualized like everything for me.
Yeah, I was just going to say something similar.
The flashbacks. Yeah, of him as like, I was like, oh, I see. And then like Diana, did she like go to a Broadway show? And then she was like, that's him that I want.
Yeah,
and then
I do
like
wonder
now
how they
he's
met.
Like this kept little pianist in her house that entertains her.
I have to say, and I'm not trying to accuse her of anything, but it does sort of, for me, it sort of lends a little bit to the rumors.
All the rumors.
But basically, Diana is, they're planning to have another child, which just like blew my mind.
Which him calling their childcare plans Munchkin Land was also
Munchkin Land.
He's like, yeah, well, we gotta hold off on Munchkin Land. I'm like, all right, Asher, enough.
They're also eating like truly what looks like a vat of Vaseline, is like the size of a Vaseline is of caviar, which I'm just like, my God. These people are so rich.
Middle of the day, enjoying.
He has it so good.
Yeah.
Like, he just gets a chef. He gets to, like, play piano whenever.
Kind of flirt with her son. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of flirt with her son. Does he even really have to have sex with her that much? It feels like the baby is very, like IVF journeys.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know how that works, actually. But I'm also like, why wouldn't you just have a surrogate? If you went through all of that, I know it's like her choice or whatever, but just seems like...
Well, I wonder if it's to sort of prove something, to prove that she's like young and healthy and vital. Yeah, fertile enough. She's proving science wrong. She's, yeah.
Yeah, it feels like an ego thing a little bit.
She proved it to me. A baby at 47, that's all the proof I need.
She's a scientific
Take
miracle.
It easy.
She grew back her wisdom teeth.
That also, I was like, you're a reptilian for that. I was like, you're not to be trusted. If you're losing adult teeth and then growing them back inexplicably, you are a sex trafficker. That's like the 1, 2, 3. That's where I go.
That really scared me. Like, what the
fuck? I knew
fuck?
That would scare you. I was like, I'll bet Carrie's terrified right now.
Just people growing new teeth that shouldn't be there. I'm like, that is something we need. She needs to be studied.
Yes. In school.
What does she know? What the fuck do these people know?
Ooh.
I like that we've entered like a realm of like, at first Beverly Hills Housewives was like, these people are wealthy. Now it's like, oh, they're fucking rich.
Yeah. And they're connected to things that will shudder you.
Yes.
In the dark of the night.
EJ walks up to Kyle's house and she goes, "Hi, Kyle." And Kyle's like, "Well, come on inside. It's just so crazy here. The trainers are here. There's puppy poop picker-uppers. We're taking down the Christmas decorations." I was like, ugh, take them all down. Gross. It's February.
Yeah. There's also too much this season of setting up clips. they keep wanting a clip show. Like when Kyle was like, I haven't had a sound bath since Del Mar. And she literally points as she says Del Mar as though she's being like, cue the clip. And I'm like, that wasn't an iconic moment. We're just seeing a gong right now. We don't need to play a clip of Del Mar just because we're seeing a gong. There's a gong while you guys are getting your pussy stretched for some reason. Like, I don't need this. I don't need a clip.
I need Dustin to stretch me.
Well, yeah, so absolutely.
Yeah, I was like, let's get a private stretch sesh on the books right now. Mm-hmm. EJ is showing off how flexible she is.
She loves pain.
She goes, I have a love affair with Bane.
I love a little pain.
She also, in her confessional, she is not moving her mouth at all when she talks this season. She's like barely moving it. So she says, like, she's like, I can drop it when I need to. She just like never moves her mouth, and she's just full like someone learning how to do a ventriloquist dummy. It's so bizarre.
I can drop it.
She might have gotten too much like filler or Botox like around her mouth.
Well, we talked about early on that she's definitely not getting the quality filler that she was getting.
No.
So she's like,
she's doing Groupon.
She's in the valley.
Yeah, she's on a Groupon journey. Sometimes she's looking snatched, though, and I'm like, did you get the Bravo direct deposit and just go, like, straight to the Beverly Hills derm? Because, like, every once in a while, I'm like, a flash of the old Tom Girardi era face comes back, and I'm like, I'm glad to see it. I honestly, like, want her to have that, because I feel like that's just another devastation.
Yes, yeah. The black and gold party face is crucial. It's she looks so good at the end of the episode, and then some of these testimonials were like
that one outfit. Well, I mean, I still can't use the sea witch.
Oh my gosh.
Kyle tells us that her stretchy and her splits are actually because she has hypermobility syndrome. I was like, of course she does.
Every problem Kyle has had, but
she's like, I was born with it.
But now she's making it work for her.
Mm-hmm.
She's taking it back.
Triumphant narrative.
After getting their pussies stretched, they sit, they have a little refreshment moment. And I just, that mini mansion replica of Kyle's house, I want to live there.
Yeah.
Looks fun.
It looks like a blast.
Was that in the background?
Yeah.
Oh, that was like a mini house. I was like, what is this? Is this just like a side of their house? It's just like a playhouse.
I think it's like Porsche's house. It kind of, when I was little, I had this fantasy of having a town, like a fake mini town that I could like do errands and like sort of keep up, have a chapel to pray, like kind of do my thing. And I always asked for Christmas, can I have the town? And my parents were like, Santa can't fit that in his sleigh. And I was like, well, then he's not real.
Santa wouldn't give you the town.
Mm-mm. Mm.
Can I have the town? You just want to be mayor, I think. I think you might want to be a mayor.
I just wanted, like, I like the town hall politics. Like, I love, like, a town hall meeting. And I think I just wanted, like, to have, not, like, to rule with an iron fist, just to, like, pop in, see how things are going.
Mayor vibes, city council vibes. Mm-hmm. EJ says she doesn't have a drinking problem. She goes, I guess you just can't have a good time around some people. I was like, true, yeah. You can't.
Erica goes, I don't want this. I don't want to be on medication. I don't want to be in this house. I don't want to be any fucking way I am right now. But God damn it, I'm fighting my way out of it. I was like, oh my God. You live in a nice house in Hancock Park. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. You have a pool.
You have a pool in a pool house.
She's speaking in, like, political speech rhetorical devices. Like, she really is starting to be fully, like, that's not what your country can do for you.
Yeah, she's Kennedy.
Do for your country. I don't have a problem.
She's FDR.
No, she's like,
FDR.
I don't have a problem. I've never had a problem. Just constantly going off. I'm like, all right, let's get
what
some
if she runs for president?
In here. Look, she could be mayor.
Honestly,
she can pick up where Angeline left off.
I don't want this. I don't want to be on medication. I don't want this fucking house.
My God.
She might be good at it because people don't seem to question her. She's pretty ruthless. She has a vision.
Let's get it on the books.
Let's do it.
I'd vote.
Wait, I just have to say, I do love that Erica and Kyle troll the charity name.
The name, yeah.
They were like, Kyle was like, maybe I'll just give money and not show up. I was like, damn.
I wonder if Dorit is going to make drama about that at the reunion.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think there's a real good chance of her getting indignant about, this is my charity. This is...
I have been through so much.
This is the first one she's on the board of.
To see you laughing.
At the plight of the transients on the street. Like, I'm like, okay, Dorit. The ladies get ready for the homeless party.
And everyone's trying to get, like, the lighting scheme together at Dorit and PK's house. And they do a little bit more I Love Lucy comedy with their lights. And I'm loving Dorit's whole look and vibe. And all the ladies are really turning it out.
Yeah.
For the black and gold event of the century.
Dorit gives like a little bit of Ana de Armas as Marilyn to PK when she's like, if you mess up my reveal tonight, mister, and then gives him a big kiss. She's like in her old Hollywood glam. And then she's like,
she is.
You mess up my big reveal tonight, mister. It's like a sort of accent from nowhere combined with Betty Boop. It was really powerful.
She's booping hard. He goes, baby, what kind of dress is that? It's amazing. Is that Cavalli? And she goes, vintage Cavalli.
When she descends the stairs, he goes, there's my bombshell wife. And I was like, God, I would kill for this relationship.
Oh, yeah. Baby.
I mean, like, to your, like, fat husband. Oh. I just, like, can't get enough of you.
Your tight little body.
Vintage.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're just like, ooh, with your tits. Ooh, yeah, it's ooh. Like truly.
It's you vintage Cavalli.
You better not mess up my reveal.
You cannot turn the light.
Yeah, when they turn the lights off and she goes, oh, PK! Oh, baby, turn the lights on! Oh, no!
Don't touch that!
I would love to be in a party at Dorit's farmhouse where it's just the lights are off the whole time and you just hear her every so often going, oh, this is terrible!
Everyone descends on the farmhouse and there's one person who declares that he loves a modern farmhouse, and it's Kathy's date, Dwight, who we find out has a storied history on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because he almost killed Ken by pushing him into the pool.
We all remember where we were when we first saw Ken Todd, that like true, like the veil between life and death was lifted, and we in him being on his back in the shallow of the pool going, oh, and Vanderpump plowing through the crowd to help
Rigor
him.
Rigor mortis was setting in rewatching the clip.
He goes, oh.
I was shocked that I'd forgotten how violent of an assault that was on Ken, and he truly almost did die.
He, like, it was crazy, and, like, he hit his hip, and it was so just, and it was so humiliating, and, like, everyone, there was, like, 40 people just watching it all happen, and he went, oh, and the guy just went, hey.
He gleefully ran at him and pushed him both arms into the pool. Yes. Imagine doing that to like an 80-year-old man.
Yes. And in like the shallow end. Like it was so forceful.
Like 2 feet.
Yes.
It's the shallowest. It's the baby. It's like the baby area.
It is.
On one of the steps. Like I think he hits one of the steps as he is like finding his floating legs. So God, it's so sad.
He was never the same after that. Oh. Like that took years off of his life, that assault.
And we learned from Dorit that promptly that former friend of Vanderpump became an enemy. She would cut him out. You know that she was like, oh God, they were so pissed.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a homicide attempt.
Yeah, it was. He could have $1 million babied him.
Yes. What if, yeah. I was thinking, like, do this guy and Kathy at, like, pub, like, gatherings and parties, do they egg each other on to do impulsive shit?
Yes.
They reminisce on the people they almost killed. Because I believe Kathy's probably hit someone in the dead of night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's done a Chappaquiddick for sure. Just mm-hmm. left oh. someone.
Speaking of Kennedy.
It all comes back to the Kennedys.
Well, what if they're like, I feel like they've been at like a restaurant or something, and she's just like, I dare you to throw that highball glass at that back of that guy's head. And he's like, fine, I'll fucking do it. And he does it. And then it just shatters. And they just go and look around.
Yeah.
Like that kind of shit. Or like Kathy just randomly just tosses her drink in someone's face.
Yeah.
And they're like, why did you just do that? And she's like,
yeah. They switch plates while someone is like in the bathroom. And then it turns out the plate they switched is like something the person is allergic to. And they die right on the spot.
And they go.
Yeah. Send people walking into like hornets' nests.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
It's right over there, just right over yonder. And like send them truly to their death.
Yep.
She always brings like kind of a tragic gay with her.
It feels right. It's very Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like those are the kind of gays that are attracted. They're like, to like a moth to the flame. It's always going to be like a blonde, because this guy Dwight kind of looked like the publicist who was like her last date. I feel like it's that blonde kind of like,
yeah,
sandblasted Elliot Mintz.
What if I'm, because I'm watching Southern Charm for the first time, and have you ever watched that, Natalie?
I have for sure.
Okay, there's this like really creepy gay named Cooper who's like 10 years older than all of them, and he's like was around like the New York downtown scene in like the 80s and 90s, but somehow like came back to Charleston, and he's like kind of sad, and like he really wants to like uphold the Southern values, and like has a fashion line, and Patricia called him a poor man's Truman Capote, which killed me. And I feel like Kathy always has like a poor man's Truman Capote with her.
Yes. She wants to be Slim Keith. She wants to be like, that's the vibe that she really wants, but she's just on her own planet. And we're always going to get like sad, like Gen X Truman Capote is just never going to be as powerful.
Who's Gen Z Truman Capote?
Gen Z Truman Capote. Christian Walker.
Christian Walker. Oh my God.
Kind of.
Not know.
When's he going to be on Housewives?
Soon, I pray. I think that is like a natural conclusion, is him showing up on the Housewives somewhere.
Yeah. With Kathy.
Because then it's like they've had all of these like white Republican women, and now they can be like, we're doing diversity, but it's like Christian Walker.
There's a catch.
There's the catch. It's going to be the worst. He'll be on Summer House.
He should move back to Southern California and then join the cast of OC.
Did he move?
I could see him and Vicky.
Wow.
Like, fully. Like, they would be iconic together.
That's a really good call.
Wow.
Did he leave LA?
Yeah, he moved to Florida.
It's so funny, that video of him in Kalani. I used to go to that drive-thru every day.
Oh, my God.
And I'm so upset that I missed that.
What was it?
They were in, you know, the Starbucks on, sorry, LA Talk on Highland and Willoughby.
Yeah.
He was behind Kalani in line, and she told the barista at the window, like, don't serve that person. He's like a psycho and like is bigoted. And he filmed her and was like, excuse me, miss, excuse me. And he like got in her face and was like, you're trying to discriminate against me because I have different... And, like, they had, like, a full... And Kalani just kept her cool and was just kind of, like, smiling at him. But he, like, fully, like, filmed her in the... And, like, the baristas were just kind of, like...
In the drive-thru or in the store?
In the drive-thru.
Chaos.
Going up to her car. Yeah. And she's so cool.
Bold.
And does not say a word and is just, like, looking at him and is, like...
She goes like this. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. And she's glowing and her skin looks unbelievable. And it's just like, this is how everyone should be handled.
Exactly.
It was like a wordless, so you say.
So you say.
So you say.
So they all start mingling and talking about the housing crisis and everything. And Kathy goes, yeah, it's really hard to talk without teeth.
Appearance is unfortunately very important. You need teeth.
She's not wrong.
Potent observations. I love Rinna's dress too. I just need a moment for like this dress that truly it took me to another dimension.
Her hair and her dress, like she just looked
flawless. Really turned it out. Yeah. Also, that dress is what Mary Cosby wore to the first season reunion.
Oh my God, you're so right. And I had, that's so crazy. I was like, I feel like I've seen this before.
But Mary wore it with like a diaphanous, like floor length underskirt situation because she never shows her legs or whatever. Right. But yeah.
Oh my God, that was so, that, it was it was like I saw it in my head. You know, when you see like something's in your subconscious and it's like an X-ray?
Yes.
That's how it was to me. Wow, that's so crazy. Damn.
Wow. Thank you for that. You like helped me place myself
in time and space.
Yeah, you just made it all come together.
Damn.
Rinna really styled it to the hilt. She looked so good. She knew this was her big come to Jesus
this
episode.
Is her big scene. Yeah.
I'm just obsessed with rich people talking about like people's problems
and teeth
Like it's just so like it's just somehow more dehumanizing, you know, like they're just, it's so, it just like chilled me to the bone.
Yeah. It's just endless. Like it's a banana. What could it possibly cost?
Yeah.
Like that's just the general, milieu.
Of course. That's a really good,
When EJ Global arrives, she's like chilling in the corner with PK talking about his police encounter. And he's just saying what he learned from that whole experience about having some drinks and realizing that he had blown over the alcohol limit. He's like, what it taught me is that when you think you're okay, you may not be. And she goes, huh.
It's truly a,
interesting.
A close-up of her, the most deadpan you can possibly be.
PK and Mauricio have a conversation that I always crave people on these types of shows to have, which is like, who would you fuck if, like, out of everyone here? And I feel like no one ever wants to be honest about these conversations. No one wants to get off their ass and have this conversation. And they did it. And it was illuminating and also creepy, but in a great way.
It also felt like the editors are becoming aware of the murmur of Mauricio and Dorit having an affair that is sort of being bandied about on corners of the subreddit and the internet. Because truly, as Mauricio is like, your wife, Dorit is like looking over at them. And the editor, I don't know if she was actually looking at them while this was happening, but the editors are making it look like Dorit keeps looking over and like biting her lip and giving Bambi eyes at Mauricio.
Wait, I had no idea about this. And I'm, as you can see, my jaw was truly dropped. And that is something that's never happened before and would be the most next level plot twist like of all time.
There are people that have been studying their body language. And I think there have been like some blind items that have alluded to something like this. And people are just really going all in on Dorit slash Mauricio trutherism.
But are they swingers? And that's just like, Kyle's like cool with this?
I would be curious. Yeah.
I mean, PK gives Mauricio a belt, which I was like, that's some weird like,
that's coded.
Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Mauricio goes in and is like, I'm going to get my gold from PK. I'm like, what did you do for it? Like, what's going on? It felt very daddy.
They are eyes wide shut.
When he said your wife and he kept being like, your wife, no, your wife. And he's like, no, take the wives out of it. Wives out of it. I was like, I feel like they probably do have a pass to like fuck each other if that's what they want to do.
Yes.
Like, I think for Kyle, I could see her psychology being such that, like, if Mauricio is going to cheat, at least it's with, like, my dear friend, and I'm controlling it in some way, shape, or form.
But she can't control emotions.
Mauricio says he would then fuck Rinna, and PK says Erica, which I was like, wow, this is such a glimpse.
Yeah, especially because Erica is dressed like a sex worker on SVU. Like, she really is giving like a Russian mail order type situation on an SVU episode, which I'm like, congrats, Erica. You really are a Broadway actor now. I've gotten this. You're doing an under five. And Mariska is worried about you.
Dorit is a very flaky matchmaker, we learn. She's like claimed to have been setting various of the women up with friends of hers, but they never come to fruition. She tries to do it with Garcelle. She does it, I think, with Erica last year.
She's describing the guy who she wants to hook Garcelle up with, and she goes, he's a debonair. I was like, what does that mean exactly?
She doesn't know either.
No.
I can't with this table. The tablecloth looked like it looked like the prom in Carrie.
Yeah, it was hideous.
It was
the whole tablescape.
The way it was arranged, like it just felt like, I was like, this is banquet hall shit. Like it was just so, it didn't give me good vibes. Like the actual party was cool, but like this part, like I was like, you don't need this.
It was the tablecloth that did them in.
I'm wondering if PK and Dorit have like tapped into like the dark underworld of celebrity, like because they're like seem to be friends with all these A-listers now. And I'm like, they've seen, like, this is like temple of the something. Temple, like, this is like decor. Like, I feel like there's a whole room where it's all covered in this kind of gold. This is me putting my tinfoil hat on.
Yeah. There's
the gold leaf room.
Yeah.
EJ sits down next to Rinna and she goes, I can have one cocktail. What should I have?
and Sutton goes,
in her red lipstick.
I love them, like, keeping an eye. I'm not that worried about Erica's alleged, like, alcoholism. Like, she hasn't done anything. Aside from, like, yell at Garcelle's son and tell him to get the fuck out of there. Right. I was like, that's pretty, on the scale of, like, alcoholic shit I've borne witness to, it's, like, a 3.5.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Garcelle wanted to be more mad about that, but then got concerned about reading angry. And so she had to shift her anger about that, like her righteous anger about your 14-year-old son being spoken to that way by your coworker, into concern trolling. Like, I think she was like, it'll read like nicer if I am just concerned about her having a drinking problem. I still am so annoyed by Kyle being like, no, that's just Erica being fun. I'm so glad.
Oh my God, that impression. So that's such a good impression.
But yeah, I am not actually concerned about Erica's drinking problem. I do agree that she's trying to use it to sort of steer the conversation towards something else, where she's like, if I'm the drunkest, most out of control person at an event, then people are talking about how drunk and out of control I was, as opposed to, did Erica know more than she's letting on about all of this stuff? So she's doing like a full Valley of the Dolls arc for herself, just rolling around on the beach, pilled out.
It seems like it's going to come back around though. And like, cause like it's almost worked itself through the whole cycle of like concern and resolution. So then hopefully people can get back to the real deal, which is like, why are you fighting tooth and nail for these earrings and all your belongings that were bought for you with stolen
plane crash victim money?
Right. And it seems in the previews that that's where we're getting next week. And Sutton's gonna bring it up.
Of course she is. Dorit makes her little speech about the charity and she goes, this charity, homeless, not toothless. And then Kathy goes, what's it called again? And she goes, homeless, not toothless. And she goes, thank you. I was like, damn, that was some deep level trolling.
That's great.
That's great.
That's great.
What's it called again?
She calls this gathering a gala. She's like, thank you so much for coming to the gala.
Her Encino gala. Thank you so much for coming to this gala. We love to see you all here.
Shaken to my very core by these charity representatives that got dragged into the mix. Two unsuspecting ladies. I don't think that we're given like the full rundown of what the dress code expectations were. So they like showed up after work in like a slacks and like a shirt. But I was like, imagine And Matt, they are the true fighters, the true soldiers of this episode.
Yeah. Prayers up to them.
And one is wearing like a bejeweled headband. Like she found a bejeweled headband on the way. And now it's just like, well, now you just look like an original Gossip Girl, one of Blair's minions.
One of her underlings.
Yeah, you look like Katya and Isabel.
They're clutching each other. Like, I feel like they grow closer and closer to one another and are fully clutching each other's hands under the table as everything plays out, not saying a word.
Yeah.
Well, later when they're fighting, I love when Crystal's like, my friends are texting me under the table being like, what the fuck is going on? Which that was, I mean, we'll just like the fight starts and like when they start yelling and it's like the people that are there as guests are, they look truly terrified.
Yeah. I can't imagine what that would be like. It would be on a large scale, like the thing of when your friend starts fighting with their parents when you are like over at their house. Oh. But like everyone's adults this time and you like don't know who you're supposed to side with and you're just laughing nervously sometimes. I would have such a nightmare time if I were actually present at one of those events.
Yeah, you like don't know where to look. Rinna pretends to not remember telling Sutton anything about at her house when Sutton's like, you told me to get the fuck out of your house. And Rinna goes, did I? I don't remember that.
I don't think I said fuck. I didn't say fuck. And then starts screaming at Sutton, like raising her voice, kind of oblivious to everyone else. I was also like, what about the toothless homeless people?
Yeah.
Like, you're really taking things away from them right now and making it all about yourself.
She's Classic. Also doing full-on prop work. She's picked up one of the roses from the table decorations and she's just like fingering this rose while she is belligerently screaming at Sutton across the table. It is so bizarre to watch her try and do like light soft Laura Ashley prop work while shrieking like a harridan. It's really, really a special thing to watch an actress.
And the way the tables are arranged, it's like very Roman. Like it's just like the space is so awkward that they're like truly just lobbing it. It's like very like Fall of Julius Caesar or something. Like yeah. They're just like screaming across like 12 feet of space.
Yeah, it's fully I, Claudius. They're doing like a play at yeah. each other from across many miles.
Fucking Kyle is such a shit stirrer. With like asking these questions back and forth, I'm also like, you're not even being smooth about this. Like, I know you've gotten a directive from a producer to like force this conversation, but like, you've got to work on the segue into this.
She's also like cackling behind Mauricio. Also, Mauricio joining in and being a little shits. I did enjoy it when it was Mauricio. If it hadn't been Kyle, if Mauricio had been the one driving the entire conversation, I honestly think I would have had a better time with it because at least it's so clearly from a place of he's high and he's sort of on the outside and he's enjoying watching the world burn. Kyle is like just enough in it and just enough thinks that like she has a moral objective to be involved in this that I'm just like, Kyle, shut the fuck up. Shut up. Go do the splits.
She gleaned so much self-importance from like inserting herself into these narratives that she like has no belonging in that I agree. Like it just doesn't do it for me. But Mauricio being like, I know Rinna and she definitely said fuck if I know Rinna. Like right. I was like, yes, I love this. Also piggybacking off of like you basically saying you would fuck her. Like this carries so much more weight with you like joking with her like that.
He's like, Lisa, I know you said fuck. Come on, Lisa, I know you said it.
And then when he's like, I think you're strong later, we'll get there. But when he's like, I think you're strong, Lisa. All right.
I was dying.
grow up, get a grip.
Lisa goes, you never texted Harry Hamlin to apologize for his birthday. And then Sutton goes, oh, I do believe I did.
No, she says it in the most insane voice, actually. She goes, oh, I do believe I did.
Yeah, it was like, I do believe I did. It was like super combative, mocking. It was so good.
It was really good, especially because it felt to me like an inversion of what we saw last episode where Lisa starts doing Sutton's voice at her. Uh-huh. Like that moment where Lisa's like, I do like you. I do like you at Sutton for Sutton to then this episode make Lisa's voice. Well, I don't believe I did.
She was planning that. She was like, I got to lob that at some point.
Absolutely.
She's getting better at her clapbacks. Like, she's improving a lot. I'm glad to see her making the baby steps out of, like, immediately crying or getting overwhelmed. She's strong. She deserves the Mauricio Medal of Strength. Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered shower head. Dermatologists recommended this unique, 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
PK goes, baby, I gotta bring in the surprise now. And then I was like, he's going to have them be droned. To blow up Mendocino Farms. And then they bring out their surprise that PK's been playing. He's always got like either it's always like Boy George or some other like Wilson Phillips or something.
This was everything. I screamed. I was like, this is groundbreaking.
It was a good surprise.
It was incredible. Kathy goes, who the hell is that?
Was she there? Was she under the table?
Fucking Melissa Etheridge sashays down the stairwell, and everyone goes, ah! And Kyle goes, oh no! Don't tell me that you're not telling. Oh my god! Oh my god! And then Sutton goes, oh, she's my girl crush. She is my girl crush.
And this is where I have to get very vulnerable and say that this did make me cry.
It was beautiful.
This performance genuinely made me cry, and it also got very nostalgic for me because I will never forget watching Kimberly Caldwell on season 2 of American Idol sing Come to My Window at her audition, and I didn't know the song. American Idol, like early seasons, taught me everything about older music, and so I immediately went on like LimeWire and looked up Come to My Window, and I listened to it all the time in like 6th grade, and it was just the best. And I was oh, and Melissa sounded unbelievable.
Oh, she sounded
incredible. It really just transported me. I was really crying. I was really crying as it continued just to reach you. Oh.
2-time Grammy winner Melissa, she's belting it out in Mendocino Farms. The best performance any of these people have ever seen.
Ever.
Come to my window. And I love Crystal, like, kind of vaguely, like, she's, like, too young, maybe. Yeah. So, like, she's kind of like, okay. But all the women are just like, ah!
Yeah, watching women vibe to music of their youth is really powerful to me. I think like not only was Melissa sounding so beautiful, but also watching those women be transported to like their 20s.
Lilith Fair.
Really, really beautiful. Really beautiful to see.
Like it was a sisterhood.
For them to like get so excited about like another celebrity is also incredibly endearing.
I'm so thankful that
except
Asher
for Garcelle. Me too. He would have made it all about him.
He would have tried to sing along. God. He would have tried to harmonize.
Diana was like, who is this? Who is this woman?
Who's this woman? I also love, like, there's one point where you see everyone, like, loving it. And then you see Garcelle just, like, very calm. And I was like, this is amazing. Garcelle goes to Sutton. She goes, you should go get a picture with her. Yeah, just do it afterwards. And I was like, this is incredible. Like, it's not moving the needle for Garcelle.
It's okay. Well, Did you see that? It was because the Breakfast Club, the radio show, like stopped, and there was a clip of Machine Gun Kelly freestyling for Charlamagne.
No.
And he was like, "How can you tell me that's not good?" And Charlamagne goes, "Just doesn't move me, man." And I was like, "Damn,
that's so good,
right?
It doesn't move me."
Rinna finally admits why she's been. They had, you know, they all kind of. Melissa brings them together. Basically, they all take a photo with her. She's a good sport about it. She's like, "Oh, thank you, everyone." And speaking in her Jodie Foster kind of way.
Yeah.
And
Kyle fully gets in front of Sutton. Sutton is so excited to get next to Melissa in the picture. And then Kyle, if you look at the picture, Kyle fully goes right in front of Sutton. So you can barely see Sutton's head peeking out. It's like, Kyle.
Classic youngest child.
You don't support women.
No. That picture was also horrific.
It was terrible.
Good in it. I was like, this is what happens when you ask the man to like take a picture and you just all end up looking ghoulish.
Yeah.
You're like, would you want this posted of you? Like, would you, like, it's like, he just did not. I was like, I knew when they handed Rob the phone, I was like, this picture's not going to be
good. No, and he's giving.
No, he doesn't have what it takes to like pull this off.
He's giving dad directives. He's going, work it, ladies. No, no. Keep your eye focused. What is this?
Get the angle. Tell them where the light is. Like maybe move them closer together. Like have an artist's eye. You're
the Lion King director. Film.
Yeah, like,
come on.
I know that you know what looks good and what looks bad.
So they all kind of have this Lilith Fair moment. Everyone's happy. And then Rinna goes, you know, my mom's things arrived today. Ah! Pictures of me as a child. Pictures of her young. It's very hard. She's sounding more and more like Mickey Mouse.
Yes. And when she's crying, her face is... The amount of filler that is in Lisa Rinna now is really, really... not helping her acting journey, because I was like, oh, she actually is crying, because in the previews it looked like it was very Lisa by Barlow, like arid nothing, but she is fully crying. You just can't tell because her face doesn't move in any sort of normal way that a face moves to cry. She also is doing like the sounds of a panic attack, but is completely able to come in and out of it, which I'm like, okay, are you zhuzhing this up a little bit? There's no snot. There's no like anything that the level of crying that she was trying to make us buy from her comes with was not there. And I don't know if that's partly acting or partly what the filler has done to the musculature of her face. But I was finding it very fascinating from a scientific standpoint to witness.
Same. I was looking really closely to try and find the wetness or slick of tears. And I was like, okay, there are tears happening. But again, I was like, you're acting right now.
Yeah. A tear went sort of plink onto the table. I think she was like sort of trying to keep any tears going forward so that she wouldn't mess up her makeup. I think that was the most important thing of the moment.
Rinna is basically becoming the lip that Wendy Williams played on The Masked Singer, singing Native New Yorker. Like, so in this moment, she was like that lip, but just frozen.
Yeah.
Just. And all the women come and comfort her and she's like, it's just hard. It's hard. And then Kathy Hilton just goes. She wipes away one little... Kathy always cries. She always does one little...
Yeah.
She's deeply moved. Like, she was crying more than Rinna was crying. And Kathy crying made me think, like, okay, this is actually real on some level. This isn't... It is an act, but there is also some sort of reality. But also, I guess Kathy, the mom's death... Big Kathy's death is like such a trigger point that I'm sure you wouldn't take much to get Kathy to emote.
Yeah.
Kathy is childlike in a lot of ways.
Like Asher.
But they all sort of it's kind of like a beautiful like Renaissance painting. Like it's like very, it's just a gorgeous. Again, the themes of this episode were so clear, like Melissa Etheridge, women coming together, like coming to each other's windows.
Yes. And Sutton is like begging to be a punching bag. Sutton's like, whoa, look, I can take it. It's like, Sutton, no.
Stop.
Like, you don't have to go that far. You can just be like, yeah, let's put everything down. But instead, Sutton's like, well, yeah, I can take it. Don't worry. Keep sticking little pins in me all you want. I get it. Maybe I deserve it on some level. That's why my dad killed himself. Like, there's so much darkness in Sutton's, like, need to be around people that continually make her feel like shit. You gotta investigate.
She wants to be destroyed by someone.
Yeah. Maybe Erica should be Sutton's fucking dominatrix. Sutton wants it.
She should.
That should be the Sutton,
much like, yeah, much like Erica, she has a yearning for pain.
Yeah.
I have a love hate with pain. I love it and I also hate it.
Yeah, I want a painting. Just Rinna with the dress at the center of it all, being comforted by a gaggle of women. It was really amazing. And yet those two charity ambassadors were still sitting off to the side, clutching each other. And then the dentist and his wife, who I was like, why are you guys so shocked? Like, you must know, like, have an idea more of who these people are and, like, what they're about kind of vibe.
So right. You say.
But
So you say.
Wow. That was a beautiful episode.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping Aspen is soon, because the next week's preview, we don't see anything about it. But I know it's coming soon because it's winter. I need to know what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping things don't end up on the cutting room floor. Like, I'm hoping it doesn't end up being just like an episode, because the drama surrounding it feels like it's worthy of like a real trip experience of a 3-episode arc. These women,
I want timestamps.
I want like Real Housewives of OC and Ireland level, or like Iceland. Like, I want that where it's just like complete chaos.
I think this combination of women is really exciting, because it's the first year in so long that the Fox Force 5 hasn't been completely dominating everything. Like, they've had one common villain every season, and now it just feels like anyone could be the villain any episode. And that's what I love. There are enough people in their own little clique, and Crystal is floating around and decides when she wants to be with Miss Diana, lip licker extraordinaire, and with Garcelle and Sutton, who she did a whole LA Times like cover story with.
So
like,
weird.
Crystal is fully playing every side she wants to. But
we love to see it.
Yeah, I would rather see that and see her really come into like, I am an alpha and I will go wherever I want to go. I will make whatever move I want to make on this chessboard. I would rather see that than when she is playing like, I'm just the young, like, sweet one. Like, no. She looked so hot at the black and gold in that, like, she looked so stunning. And I was like, yes, I want you to be this. I want you to be this type of housewife that's like, I'm walking in, I'm the youngest and hottest, and, like, do you have a problem with it? And you're sort of embarrassing to me. Like, these women are being sort of embarrassing to me. That kind of stuff is so much better than when she plays young and innocent and like scared of these women and deferential to these women.
Yeah, she's definitely still figuring it out. I was laughing earlier when we were talking about her, because I was just like, imagine being like the alpha dog female your entire life and then signing up for this show where you're like, it might be like expecting the same thing, then only to realize that the alpha female of this group that you must kiss the ring of is Kyle Richards.
God!
That is truly...
hell.
Hell. And I get, like, why she was clutching and why she went, like, the victim route. Because what you, like, can't... You've got to figure out how to handle Kyle.
Yeah.
Kyle's, like, the final boss before you...
She's Bowser.
...start to, like, climb the ladder. Yeah.
Yeah.
you have to get her under your thumb somehow. And I think Crystal's doing a good job of it by like being friends with Kathy first and like coming in through the Kathy door.
Very smart.
Yeah, I would be really thrown having to like pay my respects to
kiss the ring.
Kyle is the one person from her season of Ultimate Girls Trip that like came out looking less cool. Like so many other women on that season, like who come off as nightmares all the time. Like Ramona came off, like we already know she's a nightmare. She was a nightmare throughout. But there are people like Kenya or whatever that you would assume would be like the biggest bitch in the world that came off so cool and fun. And Kyle came off so boring dorky and annoying and a fucking dweeb. A fucking dweeb. I miss Kyle's old nose.
I love... That's a perfect way to conclude this episode.
The flashback of her with her nose, like, dressings on, really, that did something for me.
Yeah.
I need more plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Natalie,
thank you so much for being on the pod.
This was so fun.
It was a joy to have you.
This is my dream come true.
Do you, what do you have? You, so you do a regular show, right?
Yeah, sometimes I am like working on editing everything for it to do like a new version of it soon. But the main thing that would be fun for anyone listening to this who is in New York is on August 28th, Alex Better is putting together a live read of the Dinner Party from Hell episode. Amazing. at Come On Everybody in Brooklyn. And I'm going to be Alison Dubois, the blueprint.
Guys, you don't want to miss this. Great cast. That is a dream cast, a dream episode. So go see that. And you can follow Natalie on Instagram at Natalie Walker and on Twitter.
I am off Twitter. I deactivated Twitter. It broke my brain too hard. But Instagram, I'm at NWalks. So I'll be there.
Follow her. And thank you so much again for coming.
Can people get tickets to your show? Are there tickets available?
The next round isn't announced
live reading.
The Housewives, yes. The Housewives tickets are available. I just on Come On Everybody Brooklyn.com or something. Whatever their official website is, they'll be there.
We'll link to it in the description for all the heads. Yeah.
Bye, Natalie.
Thanks again.
It's a pleasure.
Bye.